In the gospel today, the Lord gives, I would suggest to you, three fundamentals for those who would be faithful witnesses or faithful prophets, those who would be effective evangelizers. Now, I want to look at these things for all of us in general, but I hope that you'll permit me on this Father's Day to also apply them especially to those in the congregation who are fathers, grandfathers, uncles, and mentors, to the men who have roles of fatherhood in our community, our church, and our parish. So again, the, if you will, prescriptions for effective prophets or evangelizers would be the general title, but a more specific title might be Fundamentals of Faithful Fathers. Now, with that in mind, I want you to, first of all, there are three fundamentals, or there are three prescriptions that the Lord gives us, and they are these: that we should have a witness that is personal, that is passionate, and that is promising. Now, the first one, that our witness should be personal. Notice how the Lord begins. He says, well, he says, who do the crowds say that I am? Who do others say that I am? And there were a variety of opinions. Some say Elijah. Some say John the Baptist come back to life. Some say one of the great prophets of old has arisen. But then he asked the question that you and I must each answer in a very personal and very clear way. And who do you say that I am? Who do you say? You see, the danger for us as Christians is that we would become content merely to say what my pastor said, or what my mother said, or what so-and-so on TV said, or Saint so-and-so said. Or even if you're willing to accept it, merely to say what the Scripture says. Now, let's be clear. All of these testimonies are precious, are very important. Faith does come by hearing. Amen? It does come that way. And yet, and even the Word of God is clear. It's the standard of our faith. Please, although I'm asking you to have a personal faith and a personal articulation, I'm not telling you to go off and found your own religion. Don't reinvent God, but discover God, who He is, as He has revealed Himself in the teachings of the church and in the Scriptures. Now, but there comes a moment, brothers and sisters, where you can't just quote the words on a page. You have got to be able to finally say on your own, without anyone else being quoted, just say on your own, these words from the Scriptures are true. Not only because my mother said so, or my father said so, or my pastor said so, but because I know they're true. Because I myself, in the laboratory of my own life, have lived and experienced the truth of these words, and I have come to know the Lord who is described here. I don't just know about Him. I know the Lord. That is our faith journey, to go from being a second-hand witness to being a first-hand witness. My mother said, and I say. My pastor said, and I say. The Scriptures say and attest and give us the truth, and I affirm that what they say is true. This is what it means to have a personal witness. You know, children are on to us. If all we're doing is quoting rules secondhand and things that other people have said, at some point, brothers and sisters, our children need to know what we say, that we know that these things are true. Now, fathers, children need to hear from the fathers and the men in their life a personal testimony about your faith. They need to know that you believe in God. They need to know that you have met God and that you have found that His revelation is true. Too many men in our culture do not share their faith with their children, with their spouse. In fact, too many men in our culture completely leave religious instruction of their children to their wives and to their mothers, to the mothers. Brothers and sisters, I want to read to you from Scripture. And brothers, I want to especially address you, because here is what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that a father is not to provoke his children to anger, but he is to bring them up with the training and the instruction of the Lord. It's Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Notice the text indicates that the first person responsible for the religious instruction and training of the children in any household is the father. Now, that doesn't mean the mother shares nothing or that the wife and the mother has no role in this. But the first one who has the first responsibility to make sure that his children know the Lord and are instructed in the Lord's ways is the father. This is a father's first obligation. Before he brings home money, before he decides what football game, he is to decide, to make a decision to himself, to witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his wife and children. Too many men, though, simply leave this to the mother, to their wife. She teaches the children to pray. She reads them Scripture. She drags them to church and usually has to drag him too, if he goes at all. And yet, a man who is following the Scripture will be the spiritual leader of his house. He will be the first up on Sunday morning. He will arise and he'll summon his children to be prepared to go to God's house. A father who is a Christian man will read Scripture to his children daily, will pray with them and teach them to pray, will insist that they learn the commandments and keep them. That is what a Christian man and a Christian father's first duty is. So it is, brothers and sisters, that I want to just particularly focus, if you will, for me for a moment. I know that many of you women in this congregation do this generously, do this effectively, and are good, good examples for your children. But I want to particularly ask the men today to reflect on your duty as Christian fathers and as Christian men, as uncles, as grandfathers, and that you men would be able increasingly to give a personal testimony that you have met the Lord and that you know him and that his words have been proven true in the laboratory of your own life. And so as I stand before you as a spiritual father, I always try to give you a personal witness. It's not enough for me just to quote the Scripture. It's not enough for me to say that the Pope recently said, or to quote some saint of old. All these things are precious. But in the end, brothers and sisters, I hope that you will always know that I also, Charles Pope, a Christian man and a priest of Jesus Christ, assert to you that these sayings are so and they are true in the laboratory of my own life. That I have met the Lord, that I know that he is alive and that he's ministering to me and that he's transforming my life. We as men have to give strong, manly, and personal Christian witness to what the Lord is doing in our life. So the first, if you will, fundamental for a faithful father, the first prescription for a good prophet is that we would be able to give personal witness and testimony to the Lord and to the truth of his teachings. Who do you say that I am? Now, we also see that the Lord goes on to say that we are not only to give personal witness, but we are to give passionate witness. Now, when I say passionate, I am referring to the passion of the Christ. I am referring to the cross. Notice what the Lord does here. He first announces to them that he must go to his glory by way of the cross. He will not sidestep the cross. He will not run from it. He will, as a man, and as our Savior and Lord will take up this cross and suffer and die and then rise to glory. This is what he will do. Then he says to us, and the way that I go, the way of the cross unto glory, this is the same path that you must take. He simply says, I'll quote the text, the Son of Man must suffer greatly, go through his passion, if you will. He must be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and then on the third day rise. And then he goes on to say, and if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, for those of us who would be prophets, for those of us who would be evangelizers, for those of us who are going to be Christian witnesses to the Lord, to those of you who are fathers and grandfathers, to all of us, we must be clear that we cannot set aside the cross. The Lord has firmly placed the cross at the center of the Christian life. We are living, though, in a time where some have wished to substitute a big, fluffy pillow for the cross. We do not live in strong times. We live very often today in weak times, where people have wanted to take the cross and set it aside. When I was a youngster in the early 70s and late 60s, it became common to remove the crucifixes from churches and replace them with these sort of resurrected Jesuses or something, you know, the sort of floating Jesus who just sort of floated in midair. And the church insisted that we get back to putting crucifixes at the heart of our church. But you see, for 30 or 40 years now, I'm concerned that we have, whether intentionally or unintentionally, set aside the cross. We who preach and some who teach and many others in the church have not wanted to insist on the demands of discipleship, on the need to experience hatred from the world and the need to turn away from sin and fight against temptation and the world and the flesh and the devil. We have not wanted to be sober and talk about the difficulties of the Christian life. We've just wanted to sort of give the God is love sermons endlessly. Now, God is love. Somebody say amen. Amen. But you see, the Lord is very clear here that we're in a bad situation, and the only way to get back to glory is to take up the cross. There's an old song that says, does Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, no. There's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The song goes on to tell us, if you think you should always be up and never, never down, I've come to remind you, no cross, no crown. The Lord says, you want a crown? You got to first take up the cross. And so it is that the Lord insists that we've got to learn things like self-discipline, self-control. We've got to fight the battle against sin. We've got to expect that we're going to experience some hatred from this world. If we try to live the Christian life, we will experience resistance and even outright hatred from the world. Brothers and sisters, there are tough times coming for the church. The world is becoming increasingly hostile to the biblical and historical Christian faith. More and more, we are being seen as intolerant and not up to date enough, and it's going to be harder and harder to be a Christian. And the Lord was very clear about this from the beginning. He said that there is a cross in following him. Now, we're going to see that that's not all there is. But I just want to stay with this moment for a moment and just tell you a little bit about my own father. You know, my own father was very good in terms of raising us and instilling in us discipline, respect, and obedience. My father very often held up the cross for us and pointed out the way to us. He would often insist, first of all, if we showed any disrespect to my mother whatsoever, this was not to be tolerated. And my father would plant firmly the cross of discipline and correct us. And if we were in any way disrespectful, to any elder or any lawful authority. Again, very clear, very firm discipline. And the cross of punishment came quickly and swiftly. Now, not only that, but my father was very good at reminding us of the crosses that we were expected to carry as children. He said, you know, you got to study hard. I want you to study every day. And I expect very good grades from my children because I'm smart and I handed on my brains to my children. And because I'm smart, you're smart. And there's no reason that you can't get good grades. The only reason you won't get good grades is because of a lack of discipline. And I am expecting discipline from my children. So he planted the cross of self-discipline. He expected us to behave, not to get out of line. My father expected me to grow up to be a great man. He says, I'm a great man, and you're going to be a great man. And I expect the greatest things from you, Charlie, he said to me. He would not tolerate me goofing off, being lazy. He expected me to physically exercise every day. He made me run a mile every day. And I eventually joined the track team, and I became the letterman, and I became the captain of the team. But again, my father expected great things, and he also told me that the only way to get there was good, strong, hard work every day. It was his way of saying to me, you've got to take up your cross daily. The daily disciplines of getting up on time, getting to school, respecting your teachers, paying attention, listening, studying, and getting good grades. And he said, if you do that kind of stuff, doors are going to open for you. If you want to goof off and disrespect authority, you can expect nothing but a painful, difficult life. And I'm going to give you a foretaste right now. But again, I say this with great respect for my father, who was quick to be able to teach us that there's a place in our life for the cross of discipline, of resisting sin, of learning to respect and obey lawful authority and living our life within the proper boundaries. And I thank my father for that publicly. Most of you know he died 3 years ago. But again, this is a great tribute to me. And I will say this. And I'm beginning to edge to my third and final point now in the sermon. That in doing this, my father gave me a great blessing. Because I did learn self-discipline, because I did learn that hard work is necessary, because I did learn these things as a young person to respect and obey lawful authority, my life has been much simpler, much better than some others of my friends who I grew up with. And I thank my father publicly for that. So again, the Lord, and again, I hope all of you who are fathers will say and do the same thing. I always knew my father loved me, but my father had a strong, manly love for me that set high expectations for me. And that's, I think, one of the great things that a father and a man can do, especially for young boys, but also for their daughters. To help young people to realize that life can be very difficult, but that does not mean that we don't have to work and therefore double down our efforts. A father and a man can make this testimony. And I hope, men, that your children know that you love them, first of all. And secondly, that you're disciplining them and training them in the practice and the ways of the Lord. Because again, this is a great and a powerful gift that keeps on giving long after they've been raised. Now, the final thing I want to say, and this leads to a proper balance, because if all we talk about is the cross, well, to what end? Notice, therefore, the Lord doesn't just tell us to have a personal witness and a passionate witness, that is to say, a witness that has the cross at the center. But the Lord also tells us to give a promising witness. You heard what I just quoted a minute ago, that song about no cross, no crown. But church, take up the cross, and there's a crown waiting, amen? And we need to begin to, as prophets, announce the fact that in carrying the cross, in being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, I have been blessed. That the Lord is blessing me every day, right now. That there has been blessing in my life. Now, just think about it for a moment. You already know that there's a blessing in learning to take up your cross. What is it that you have that you value right now that did not come at a price? Maybe it's your college degree, and you had to work part-time jobs to get the money to go to college, and you had to study and write papers and pass tests. It wasn't easy, was it? But the cross, and then came the crown. We saw some of our young people wearing those crowns last week, right? In their graduation cap, amen? First the cross, and then comes the crown. Hard work, diligent work, perseverance has a reward, and it doesn't all wait for heaven. Because I've already testified to you that although my Father pointed to the cross, I'm already experiencing some of the crown. My life is easier because I've avoided the things that my Father told me to avoid. Because I've taken up the cross of hard work, my life is easier. Because I've taken up the cross of learning self-control, I thank God and I thank my Father for having pointed to that cross, because now I enjoy the fruits. I enjoy the fruits of that. Brothers and sisters, my Father always talked about the reward that would come if I did this. My Father always told me that doors would open for me. He reminded me that if I learned to be respectful and learned to work hard, that in the end, this would lead to promotion in life. This would lead to good events. This would lead to good things in life. And my Father's been true. His word is true. And so it is, we always talk about the reward. We don't just talk about the cross, but we talk about the crown. Now, brothers and sisters, have you experienced a crown already in your life? Do you have a story to tell about how the Lord's blessed you? The Lord says here in this text today, He says, if anyone will lose his life for my sake, he will save it. In other words, He's saying, if you will follow this path, lose your life, take up your cross, die to this world, I promise you rewards here and glories to follow. And how many of you already know? You already know. Maybe you've raised children and you know how hard it is to raise children. There is a cross in raising children. But if you work at it and you raise them well, they turn to bless you. Amen? I'm mindful of the generosity of this parish. Every Sunday, you're faithful to your tithe, and we're staying up with our collection, and I've promised you reward if we could do it. Amen? We've done some renovations, and the air conditioning's on and running right now. Now, some of you are up at the school, and you realize that the air conditioning down there needs a little help. Amen? But because you've taken up the cross and brought your money and your time and your talent, we're going to be able to take care of that problem down at the school. All right? Amen, church? Every blessing comes ultimately from a cross that either we or others before us have taken up. And brothers and sisters, there's a testimony. We need to promise. And I want to say as a witness to you that to the degree that I have taken up the cross in my life, I've always been blessed. To the degree that I've taken up the cross to fight sin in my life, that I've taken up the cross to get up early in the morning and shake off sleep and get about God's work, I've been blessed. To the degree that I have been taken seriously the commandments of the Lord and striven to walk in their way, I want you to know, church, I'm blessed right now, right here, and right now. The Lord is giving me new life. I have a testimony. The Lord is putting sin to death in my life. The Lord is bringing alive new virtues, greater joy, greater serenity. The Lord is blessing me, I said, right now, right here, and right now, this very day. And I have even more blessings waiting for me in the glory that is to come. You just pray that I keep taking up my cross every day. And brothers and sisters, I promise you in the Lord Jesus Christ that if you and I are willing to take up this cross, we will have a crown waiting for us in heaven, but even here right now. The cross leads to life. The world says it leads to death. The Lord says the cross leads to life. Do you trust the Lord or do you trust the world? So it is, I promise you in the Lord Jesus Christ, blessing upon blessing and glory waiting for you in heaven if you will but take up your cross daily and follow the Lord. So church, I hope you have a witness to give that is personal, that is indeed passionate, that is to say rooted in the beauty, the majesty, and the paradoxical wisdom of the cross. And I hope that you have a witness that is promising, always pointing to the rewards and being able to testify to the rewards of taking the Lord up on his offer, that to the degree that I have lost my life to this world, I have gained it unto life eternal. I have gained blessing upon blessing. The Lord has been blessing me. And fathers, a final word to you. Make sure that your children, your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews, make sure that those children that you mentor and are examples to, make sure they know that you are a man of God. Make sure they know that you know the Lord. Tell them about the Lord. Witness to the Lord. Point to the cross, but point to it as a man who has already experienced its power in his life to change and transform him, and point to the great promise of the crown that waits for everyone who takes the Lord up on his promises. The Lord is blessing all of us right now. Amen.